All right, settle down, take your seats. Come on, let's go. Take your seats. Thank you. Good evening, class. I'm your host, Tony Spears, and welcome to Binary Gamer, where we're going to learn a little something about video games. I am joined this week, once again, by my special guest,
Bobby Dawson.
Awesome, Bobby Dawson. So, Bobby, you're back again.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. But now, things are actually running the way they're supposed to in the studio because my computer works again. Yay. It actually kind of acted as an upgrade because now I have a solid state hard drive and it's amazing. I had heard, the stories about the difference between solid state and not just a normal mechanical hard drive.
Yeah.
But man, it is night and day for real.
Well, I noticed that on my laptop that when I put one in there, it sped things up quite significantly.
Yeah.
And I got a crappy laptop. I think it's 1.5 gigahertz AMD A4.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm kicking pretty fast speeds now.
That's awesome. So that means that since the studio is back up and running, we can actually do the lesson plan. So are you ready to learn something today?
Sure. I think I'm always ready to learn something.
All right. So we've been, aside from the weeks when things had gone awry, been talking about RPGs. So before the studio had unceremoniously almost burned itself to the ground when my hard drive let out, I'd started with RPGs 101. So just the basics on what makes an RPG or role-playing game a role-playing game. So quick recap for Bobby here. So there are four fundamental elements to a role-playing game.
Okay.
You have the setting, story, characters, and then the mechanics. Okay. So I was kind of juggling back and forth, not really making a distinction on which was more important in the grand scheme of things, though I do personally lean more toward mechanics, but those are the basic formula, and so that's what we touched on. So now I'm doing kind of I'd actually kind of put it up to a vote between a few listeners and was debating on doing your more traditional RPGs, like your Final Fantasies, against your more Western-developed RPGs, or the more classic RPGs like Phantasy Star and like turn-based strategy games against tactical RPGs, games like Final Fantasy Tactics or Disgaea. What I decided was just to do both. Like a young, wise, beyond her years, little Hispanic girl once said, why not both? So, taking the wisdom of Ortega Tacos, I decided...
Sí, señor.
I decided that I would do both. So, that's what we're going to do today. So, real quick...
Well, teach me, sir.
Real quick breakdown on RPGs versus tactical RPGs, okay?
There's a difference?
Yes. So the core difference between your tactical RPGs and your classic RPGs is the way that the turn-based system breaks down, right? So in a game like, say, Final Fantasy VII, right? You're familiar with this game.
Okay.
All right. So when you encounter the enemy, the encounter starts, and then it's their party against your party, right? So you have your party of three characters. They have a party of, I think in that game, they max out at three. It might be more for the enemy. I can't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, so you have your party, and then because of the active time battle system that they have, it goes by whose speed allows their time bar to fill up faster, and then that person gets to attack, right? So you're essentially taking turns. It's a slightly more dynamic way of taking turns. If you look at the more traditional Final Fantasy method of it, it's everybody has a set order that they go in for turns, and then based on that order, you do your attacks, hoping to dish out more damage than the other team, and then hopefully you come out victorious, right? So tactical RPGs play along those same lines, but instead what they allow you to do is it throws the environment or the battlefield into the mix as far as mechanics you have to take into consideration. So in the OG original Final Fantasy Tactics, whenever you encountered somebody, it would put you on a grid map, right? So you have grid squares, and it's based on not only length and width of the board, but also height, depending upon the terrain, right? So the things you have to consider are the types of classes that you have, or jobs, they're jobs in Final Fantasy, that you have at your disposal as far as your team is concerned, against the team that you're up against, and how best to utilize the terrain or the map in conjunction with your abilities, right? So essentially, the biggest change that you're looking at there is that grid-based map system that you have to take into effect as well. But a lot of games kind of get away from that in some instances, like the more rigid grid-based thing. Like you played XCOM Enemy Unknown?
No, I have not played that game.
Okay, so XCOM Enemy Unknown is kind of like what I was describing as far as like the tactical RPG sense of like you're utilizing the environment, but it's not a grid system. It's based on it's based more in like a really blunt rundown of your stats. So it's like if your guy's a heavy, like it's not called a heavy, but like if your guy's a heavy weapon specialist, then he doesn't have as much movement, as far a movement as say your sniper does, right? But okay, your sniper has different drawbacks to their abilities as well, because they don't have as much armor or as much like direct firepower, things like that. So you're looking at more of a like con and pro approach to that game, but it still falls into the realm of a tactical RPG because you're still utilizing like the cover in the environment, which is something that your more traditional tactical RPGs don't take into consideration when it comes to like projectiles and things. Like in Final Fantasy Tactics, a black mage could care less whether you're behind a boulder or not, because he's going to hit you with that fireball regardless. Whereas in XCOM Enemy Unknown, cover takes a big chunk out of the enemy's ability to hit you directly, and sometimes the game's RNG or random number generator takes a big chunk out of yours and the enemy's ability to land a hit as well. I've seen videos on YouTube of guys like from me to you, like literally like 2 feet away, like the muzzle of the weapon in the alien's face and fire and miss. It's just like there's certain things you should not leave up to a random number generator. Like if you're that close, it should just be an automatic hit. You know what I mean?
I do agree with that, because like in real life, if you were to point a gun in my face right now and pull the trigger, like you would have to be the most horrible, or have the most horrible aim in the world, or miss me, or like the world's worst eyesight.
Well, no, it would really, at that point, you got to think about it. Like aim, eyesight doesn't even come into.
But you don't even need to aim at that distance.
Like really, it's like, it's a malfunction. That's the only thing that's going to save you at that point, is if the weapon just doesn't fire. You know what I mean? But in this game, you go and like, you do like a 6-round burst, and it's just like, and it's funny too, because like, it doesn't just like pass through them. Your guy will like be sitting there pointing, and then all of a sudden the weapon just like jams up and he fires and misses. And it's like, what did you sneeze? Like, what the hell's going on? You blink really hard. What happened? Yeah. Did you fucking shit yourself? Sorry. I try not to curse in the show. Try to keep more PC.
See, I was trying to go PG with Shart.
Yeah. Sorry. That was my bad. I apologize. you bring the wild out of me, Bobby.
Yeah. You need a beep generator.
Mm-hmm. I would like to get that one day. Just a boop, boop. But anyway. Back to the lesson. So those are your more like stark differences between your tactical RPG and your classic RPG, right? So over time, classical RPGs, and when I say classical RPGs, I'm talking like your core RPGs, like things in the like that are based around the same mechanical structure as like Final Fantasy, Phantasy Star, Dragon Quest, games like that, where it's very much like here's your party of characters, here's the bad guys, go fight, and like you're just gonna trade blows based on, like I said, your class and your abilities and stuff like that until there's a victor involved. There's not too much tactical thinking. There is some tactics involved, because depending upon the type of classes that you have or the way that you use your abilities, that's gonna determine whether you get an edge in combat or not. But that's about as tactical as you're thinking when it comes to combat in what I'm referring to as a classical RPG, right? Like the classical form of mechanics, as opposed to, like I said, like a Final Fantasy Tactics or Disgaea or even, I guess if you want to take it a much looser definition, the XCOM series, where there's a much bigger emphasis on the tactical portion of combat in a lot of cases, as opposed to the classes that you have. Like you're kind of marrying both of those things together to have a more positive outcome in battle.
Okay.
So now, if you look at your, like I said, classical RPG stacked up against what we now have today as like your Western RPGs, that's when things start to get kind of muddied, right? Because you think of like Final Fantasy. It's very straightforward. Like you have your characters, you have the setting, you have the overall game mechanics. So like we'll say for Final Fantasy VII, right? That's like one of the more well-known stories in your classic RPGs. It's, you know, Cloud starts off and he's this mysterious figure kind of working freelance for a rebellion mercenary group, which is Avalanche. And then you come to find out that Avalanche is attacking Mako reactors, which tie into Shinra, which ties into Cloud's past. And it gets all kinds of like hairband drama. And it's just, it's totally crazy. And then in the end, you end up saving the world from a giant meteorite. Spoilers for people who haven't played a game that's almost 20 years old. But
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. It actually kind of is. Oh no, I was thinking Fifth Element.
Oh, that too.
Yeah. Actually, it is almost kind of like Fifth Element, where it's like there's a giant meteor. Oh, we need something to save us. Oh snap! It almost is exactly like the story of Final Fantasy VII and Fifth Element are almost exactly the same, because the key to stopping the giant meteor from destroying everything is a girl, and the guy and the main character is a ex-soldier, and that's really the only parallels I've got there. But I mean, regardless, it's still, you know, it's still there. That's really weird. I'd never realized that before. Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah, well, you know, useless knowledge up in this brain.
Yeah, it's all just rattling in there.
That's what it does.
Yeah, it's just sitting there until I have something to use it for. It
goes boom.
Indeed. But So then you start falling into like Western RPGs, right? So when I say Western RPG, what do you think?
I don't know. You're teaching me the class.
Well, I mean, we need some interaction here. I got you here. I'm not just going to talk at you.
Well, see, I'm not sure exactly how to answer that question, Tony.
Well, okay. So you take we'll go with D&D. Okay. So stick with me here. The basis of RPGs falls into Dungeons and Dragons.
Is it like a Dark Souls type thing, or
actually, yeah.
Okay, like
Dark Souls would fall into what is considered a Western RPG.
See, I didn't know it fell into that realm, but
yeah.
I mean, I played me some Dark Souls, some Shadow of Mordor, things like that.
Well, Shadow of Mordor, I guess it kind of would, because there are RPG elements to it.
Yeah,
but what I'm thinking more is like a direct parallel is like Skyrim.
Okay,
so like the Elder Scrolls games, especially like you play Morrowind,
Assassin's Creed,
not so much. A lot more action platformer going on there than there is RPG.
But there is a lot of objective based and attribute styles there.
Not really attributes. If you think about it, you're just getting better equipment.
Yeah, well, I guess you do get
better equipment in games like Skyrim and stuff like that. But you also have like base stats that are making your character better in relation to that equipment.
You're right.
Because if you think about it, like if you started out Skyrim, right? So you get away from the dragon in the very beginning, and you're running down toward River Run, and all of a sudden you come across like a Daedric Great Axe. Like, that's a really cool piece of gear that you probably should not find at level 1 or whatever level you're going to be, like probably level 3 at that point.
Okay.
And pick that up. You can pick it up and you can use it, but it's not going to have the full potential it would if your two-handed ability was up higher. So because of the stats in relation to the equipment is better utilized. That's why you start out with like lower level stuff, like early on in the game, like iron stuff, and you work your way up until you get to like, you know, to like dragon material weapons or like Daedric weapons and stuff like that. If you got that stuff early on, you'd still be able to do more damage than you would with just a iron weapon of that same stature, but it wouldn't be as much is if you had the stats that would meet the best possible outcome, is the best way to put it. And the same thing applies to D&D. So like in D&D, you can use any type of weapon that you want. So like I can make a gnome barbarian if I wanted to, right? All of 3 foot tall and give him a freaking greatsword.
Why not?
Because, well, I mean, as hilarious as it would be to see a gnome with a greatsword. But the thing is, like, if he doesn't have the proper stats for the weapon, he can't properly utilize the weapon.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
So the same thing applies to Western RPGs in a lot of ways. Now, if you look at Western RPGs and your classic RPGs, so I'm going to say West versus East. That's not to say that all classical RPGs are made in Japan, but when you think of games like Final Fantasy and stuff like that, you assume Japanese development. So to make this easier, we'll just say like Eastern-inspired, Western-inspired RPGs, okay? So they both borrow from D&D in the way that they work. So,
well, I'm glad you clarified that, because like I was lost when you were saying Western. I didn't know that's what you meant, like, you know, the development of the game, you know, somewhere like towards United States or Japan or the region you're in. Okay, now I understand. Okay.
Yeah, I probably should have clarified that before. I probably was like, it's not like an RPG that takes place in the West. I guess if that's the first time.
That's why I was sitting here like looking kind of retarded at you. Was like,
you're okay. Like Red Dead Redemption? I don't know.
Well, I was starting to throw ideas out there just to be like, okay, I mean, I was getting a more of a picture of it by throwing out the game,
because,
you know, knowing how they differently play and different styles that go along with not just the gameplay, but the development and stuff of it. But yeah, that kind of helped me out. So okay. Thank you.
All right. No problem. So, all right. So Eastern inspired versus Western inspired, right? So if you take D&D in the middle of them both, then you have a really good picture of how they're inspired and how the mechanics work out. So your Eastern RPGs are more in tune with the numbers based methodologies of like earlier editions of D&D, like first edition, second edition D&D, where everything is like real dice heavy, right? So in D&D, the golden rule is the 20-sided dice. Everything can be decided with the 20-sided dice. So essentially the way that it works out is like, if my player character is going to have an encounter in a D&D campaign, I go and say I want to roll initiative to figure out who's going to attack first. So I roll a 20-sided dice, and depending upon the number, I go first or he goes first. Same thing applies in a game like Final Fantasy VI, where your speed kind of acts as initiative, so that your speed determines who will get to attack first, because obviously if my speed stat is higher than the enemy's, I'm faster, so I can attack first. So the same thing with like strength and things like that. So then when it comes to the way that you hit in D&D is the same thing, 20-sided dice. So the enemy will have an AC or a AR armor rating, right? So he has an armor rating of 15. So I roll a 20-sided dice and say I only roll a 13, but then I have modifiers on my character based on my equipment, my stats, things like that. Suddenly puts me up to a 16, I hit. And then I roll for damage and things like that based on my equipment and things. So in a game like Final Fantasy VI or VII, or actually a lot of the Final Fantasy games from like 10 and down, the way that would work is like the speed stat acts as your initiative, so that determines who's going to go first. So in Final Fantasy VII, that is represented by the active time battle system. Okay. And is like that time bar, that bar that fills up, and then you get to pick your attack. So then the damage and stuff that you do is all based on stats that are tied to your character, which you can see in any RPG. You can go and see like what your base stats are in a Eastern inspired RPG. Everything from your health, you know, your hit points, your mana, your defense, magical defense, maybe depending upon if they want to break it down like that, speed, strength, things like that. So then in order to attack in the game, what the game does is the game essentially acts as the 20-sided dice and I mean, really anymore, it's sometimes it's a random number generator, and that number gets thrown against your character based on stats. But back in the day, it would literally compile the stats together to see, like, okay, is he going to hit? Oh, yeah, he does hit. How much does he hit for? Well, it has to fall between, say, 20 and 25. So we're going to roll it. He gets 24. So you hit, and you hit the guy for 24 points of damage. That's essentially how it breaks down. So all that is essentially a turn of combat in Dungeons and Dragons, but it's all put out for you digitally by the computer.
Okay, so is it more of a thing of skill, or is it all based on the roll of the dice?
In a game like Final Fantasy VI or Final Fantasy VII, it really is about the dice and how the numbers match up. So, I mean, if you're Cloud, Tifa, and Barret are all level 17, and they all have pretty stacked up stats, just because they go up against something that's a level 19 doesn't mean that they're outclassed. Their combined stats should, unless things just go horribly wrong for you in the fight, which is possible because the numbers can be random and outcomes can be different. So unless something just dramatically wrong happens and the odds are not in your favor, they should be able to overcome that encounter even against a more powerful enemy because of the way that their stats would stack with each other against the same stats of that level 19 character. So to say that it's more like skill against the numbers isn't, in my opinion, the best way to look at it. It's more of picking the right use of the numbers. It's more about being educated about how your characters work as opposed to just going in there and just hitting X, 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 X and just executing a whole bunch of attacks. Because, I mean, you could do that. You could just run in, just keep attacking over and over and over again. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's how I came to a stop point the first time I played through Final Fantasy VII, because I decided I wanted to go and beat the weapons. And so in Final Fantasy VII, there's Diamond, Ruby, and Emerald Weapon. Well, Emerald Weapon's underwater. So I was like, okay, I'll go and take him out. But what I didn't know was that there's a special materia that allows you to breathe underwater so you don't have that stupid 30-minute timer. And I thought, because I was young and dumb, I was like, oh, I can beat him in 30 minutes, no problem. And I just kept attacking him and attacking him and attacking him. Well, what I didn't realize is that each of the weapons, Emerald Weapon especially, essentially take a combination, like the way that the game compiles their level is it takes the, essentially it uses the levels and stats of your characters, throws them into this really weird semi-demonic formula, and then spits out a level and stats for that character. And now, mind you, it only applies to these three weapons, Diamond, Emerald, and Ruby. But when I was going against him, I wasn't exactly the most integral player, and I had used the Game Shark to get my guys up to level 99. So all of them were at level 99. They were all maxed out, all that, right? So as you can imagine, three level 99 characters going up against this particular boss that compiles all the numbers from your characters and puts it into himself, he was pretty much invincible. I couldn't beat him. Now, granted, I went back years later and played it the right way. And after knowing certain steps and tactics in order to take him down, I was better able to use my characters and the way they played to go ahead and beat him. So it's not so much luck. It's about knowing what you've got and how to use it is what it is.
Okay. So in the very end, that you have to make sure that you have a very well-rounded character when it comes down to attributes, skills, and weaponry, right? And they have to be pretty much balanced out so that when you do go into these battles that you can, I mean, pretty much achieve the maximum amount of, damage. Hit points and damage necessary.
Well, that really kind of comes down to the mechanics of the game. Like, in Final Fantasy VII, one of the things they have is the materia system when it comes to your magic abilities, right? So, your characters don't learn abilities themselves. You apply abilities to them, right? So, say I want to teach you how to throw a fireball. In that game, I would give you a materia that allows you to learn how to throw a fireball. After you use that materia long enough, you master that ability and you don't need the materia anymore to throw the fireball. Now, same thing applies to a lot of different abilities, like offensive magic spells, like defensive magic spells are like buffs. So like healing you, increasing your magic defense, your physical defense, increasing your speed, like giving you haste, things like that. That is all tied into like how you want to make your character. So it's not about like creating a balance. It's about figuring out how you want your party to be made up. So like whenever I play that game, I always have one person designated as a healer. That person is always going to get all of my defensive and my magic and my defensive and like my healing materia. And like that's that dude's whole job is to be the medic. Usually I give it to someone who's kind of tanky like Barrett or you know, like someone that like as their stats progress, they're like I kind of see like, okay, well, he's going more into like the defense side. I'm going to make him the healer since he can take more damage. I mean, even though it's kind of messed up how that game works, because like in the beginning, you're like, oh, cool, I have Eris and she's really cool. And oh, my gosh, like her limit breaks heal you. That's amazing. So she's meant to be the healer. I'll just give her all my healing materia. And then freaking spoiler alert, again, for a 20 year old game, freaking Sephiroth shows up and shanks her and kills her. You don't get her the rest of the game. And you're like, ah, my medic's dead. What do I do? And you have to rebuild your life again. It's horrible.
Well, see, it's a learning process.
Yeah.
So you just helped a lot of people. You know, not make that same mistake if they are currently starting to play that game now.
See, I really hope that there's not someone like in the middle of playing Final Fantasy VII listening to this and just being like, well, I'm done. And just put it down and just walk away. Like, that's not the point here, but yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, just like, what the?
At spoilers. Least you gave him a spoiler alert.
Yeah, see, I told him. But, okay, so then comparing that to Western RPGs, right? Western inspired RPGs. So back to like the example I gave you with Skyrim.
Okay.
Okay. So in Skyrim, the way that your character plays, like usually in a Western style RPG, you're focused more on just playing one character. It's more of about embodying an avatar than it is taking a party of people through the same story. So in Skyrim, you play as the Dovahkiin, and you're the Dragonborn, and you're all kinds of awesome, and you can do anything you want in that game, right? Like, that was always the big appeal to Skyrim. That's the reason why people still play it now. People still pick up and play new games of Skyrim, like, probably every day someone just fires up a new campaign just because, like, man, this game's really good. That game is really good, but... So, also another game you can apply this to is, like, the Fallout series. It's like Fallout 3, Fallout 4.
Okay.
Fallout New Vegas, those games.
Yeah.
Same developer, same type of system, just different setting. But essentially, so you start out in the game and you are like level one, you have very basic stats. You get to kind of choose where you want like some extra points to go. So like in the beginning of Fallout 3, you have like the special system, right? Where you get to like allocate a few points to different spots to start out in. But basically you have like the same stats plus or minus a few points in different areas depending upon how you want your character to start out. And then you make your avatar, you change some things aesthetically, and then you start out in the game. So in those games, those are both really good examples of like what is considered a prime source Western RPG style, because in that game, your abilities increase as you use your abilities. So you don't have the special system in like Skyrim, but if we're sticking with the Fallout example, so as you go through and you use different abilities, those abilities become better based on the stats that you're applying points to. Okay, whereas in Skyrim, the more you use an ability, the more that ability increases regardless of your stats. So like in Skyrim, if I'm casting destruction magic a whole bunch, my destruction magic is going to keep going up until I level up. And then I can increase my health or my magic or my stamina. And then those have varying effects depending upon the type of build you're going for. But for the most part, that's the basis of it, is if you want to be good at something, do that thing. So if you want to be a really good archer, keep shooting arrows. If you want to be a tank with heavy armor and a freaking warhammer, freaking use those things, get hit in the face a couple times wearing heavy armor, and you'll get better at that thing. If you want to be a healer, like, I saw a video a little while back that blew my mind where this guy played through Skyrim, beat the campaign, And all he did was sneak and use illusion magic. And he, what was it? It was sneak, illusion magic, and I think a bow.
I have no clue, bro.
Okay. So, like, long story short, it was a very unorthodox way of playing because, like, you can get pretty powerful with bows in that game. But, like, all he was doing was just sneaking around so people couldn't see him and then, like, getting freaking sneak attacks and stuff like that. It was pretty crazy. But long story short, like I said, if you want to be good at that thing, you just got to do that thing in that game. And that's what molds your character. So your character is molded by the experiences you have in the game. That is the primary difference between the Eastern-inspired and Western-inspired RPGs. Now, there are variations on the theme. So, like, for another example, like, you played Dark Souls, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Dark Souls, the way that you make your character more powerful is you defeat enemies, you get souls, and then you go back to the hub world, wherever that may be, and then you essentially sell those souls to increase your stats, right?
Yes.
And then it becomes exponentially more expensive to increase your stats the further up the chain you go, right?
Of course.
So that's just another like indirect method of leveling yourself up, because you getting stronger is all dependent upon your skill. See, that is where it's more about skill than it is the numbers. The numbers help when it is about determining how much damage you're going to deal or how much damage you can take or different abilities that you have in comparison to like the mobs or the different creatures you're going to run into. But the Souls series is more about skill when it comes to anything else. It's about knowing the mechanics of how like the attacks work, like knowing exactly where you can attack to hit somebody. You know what I mean? Like that game is very precise if you think about it. Like when you look at it, because you can go and like you can swing your sword and just like barely miss a guy, and it's not gonna hit him because there's no hitbox there or anything like that. But you could just have it like an inch over to the right, and all of a sudden you hit that guy and do like massive damage because you've landed the blow. You know what I mean? There's a lot more skill involved, and like I said, it's a lot more about knowing the way you have your character built and how you want to play the game.
Okay, so where does a game like Dragon Age fall in?
Dragon Age falls more into... See, I've played the original Dragon Age. I played Dragon Age 1, Dragon Age Origins. But I haven't actually played Dragon Age Inquisition or any of... I haven't played 2, and I haven't played Inquisition. But what I can tell you from like Dragon Age Origins is Dragon Age Origins plays very much like a turn-based RPG. Okay. But there's still... what's the best way to put it? So, like, you're still taking your turns. You know what I mean? And it's still based on, like, speed and stuff like that, but there's a lot of things you can do to, like, to change and interrupt the flow of the way combat works. So, like, there are abilities you can use to, like, stun your opponent in Dragon Age that allow you to kind of, like, reset their turn and push them back in the order of attack. As far as like the way characters level up and stuff like that, it's all a basic experience system. So like you go through, you kill something, or like you complete a quest, you get experience. Once a bar fills, then you go up a level and then you apply stats and gain abilities. It's still kind of a very, very base D&D system there. The way the combat works is a lot different than the two examples I gave as far as like your Final Fantasy VII versus Skyrim, things like that. It kind of falls somewhere in the middle, I guess you'd say. So, I mean, it's not to say there isn't a gray area, but yeah, it's very much a not very loose combat, but a lot of different mechanics that allow combat to be very dynamic. But you do have the option in that game as well, though, to turn off like the ability to pause. So, like in that game, you can play it out to where, like, you encounter the enemy, you start attacking, and then you start going through your attacks. And if you want, you can pause and then line up a bunch of, like, executions. So, say, like not executions as, like, killing somebody, but, like, a bunch of commands. So, say, like, I want my healer to heal this guy, and then I want my tank to go across there and punch that dude in the face. And then I want my mage to shoot a fireball over there. So, you line up all those commands, and then you just unpause or, like, resume combat, and then they'll execute those commands.
Where's the fun in that, though?
Well, it allows for a more... it makes the combat less frenzied and allows you to kind of, like, think combat out more, because you only have so many turns. Like, you can't go and like line up multiple, like multiple rounds. You can take the round that you've got, like the available characters you have to use for that turn of combat, line up those commands, and then execute it. If you just play it, if you play it without using that, then what happens is like the AI characters in your party have like automatic, like automatic attacks or automatic abilities that they'll use based on like how you tweak their AI, which is very loose, by the way. Like, it's not very precise. It's like, I want you to be defensive, and it's like, all right, I'm just gonna run away. Or like, I want you to be offensive, like, all right, I'm gonna go punch this guy in the face. Like, that's kind of, it's very loose in the interpretation of like the AI that you're manipulating. But and then your character, if you don't do anything, your guy will just stand there and just take damage. So like, it gives you more time to like think out combat and to kind of like plan things in advance. I mean, that's the way I play it. I play it to where like I go into an encounter, I stop, and like I'll line up a few attacks, figure out what I want to do, let that run through, and then see how the enemy reacts, and then kind of rinse repeat. So it gives me a bit of an edge in combat.
Yeah, but real life, it's just on the fly. You got to go on the fly.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the only games that are really like that are games like Skyrim or Fallout, different games like that, or like the Dark Souls games. But if you think about it, in a game like Skyrim, right, like you're running around and all of a sudden like a dragon shows up, you're not really thinking about, like, there's no...
You didn't pre-plan the dragon attack.
Yeah, you're not sitting there like, oh, snap, okay, well, good thing I had a plan for this, because it's like, okay, I'm on top of this freaking mountain, this dragon just showed up, I have a broadsword and a shield and, like, three potions. All right, I guess I was hit in the face until I'm almost out of health, and then once it flies away, I'll heal myself up, and I'll wait for it to come back down, and I'll rinse repeat until it's dead. Now, granted, That's kind of a very rudimentary and crude description of the combat in that game, because the combat can be very dynamic and a lot of cool stuff can happen. But when you think about it, like, you're just kind of, you're flailing a lot of the time. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell you how many times I've like been right up on a dragon with a greatsword, just swinging away at it until I had no stamina left, and then running away till my stamina was back, and then just rinse and repeat. You know what I mean? Like, there's not as much of a tactical thought in that game, as opposed to then if you want to look at the exact opposite end of it and you take Fallout, the combat in Fallout is almost pointless without the VAT system. So like, are you familiar with VATS? Okay, so VATS, I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but essentially what it is like, okay, so in the game, say a super mutant's coming at me and I shoot at it with my gun, I'm probably not going to hit it, because the way that combat works in that game, especially Fallout 3, I heard it was better in 4. I haven't played 4 myself, but in 3, like, I could just, like, well away with a machine gun, and I might do some decent damage to the super mutant, but then what you do is you hit a button, you go into VATS. VATS allows you to aim at specific spots on the enemy, so, like, the head, individual arms, individual legs, or the torso, and then you can attack, and you'll do pretty decent damage. But the main reason you're doing it is so you can hit better, because you'll have a higher hit percentage based on, again, stat, you know, stats and ability stacking here, like your abilities with the weapon that you're using, the type of weapon it is, the condition of the weapon, like where he's at, if he's moving, if you're moving, all kinds of crap. But like, it's the exact opposite if you think about it, because in Skyrim, you're just like throwing fireballs and flinging arrows and, you know, hitting them with your axe or whatever, just trying to stay alive, pausing long enough to eat some, you know, eat a massive number of cabbages and freaking cheese wheels and then go back into combat. Whereas like in Fallout, made by the same developer, by the way, combat is almost pointless unless you're using VATS, which literally stops time. Like, it stops, you figure it out and you aim, and then you execute. Though I do think in Fallout 4, all it does is slow them down. Like, it doesn't stop them altogether. So it just depends.
All right.
I mean, but then it's almost like the whole argument's completely thrown out the window, really, when you compare it to like Dark Souls, where Dark Souls is more about managing your stamina and your health than anything else in combat. Like, have you played Dark Souls 3?
No, I've played up to 2, but I haven't played Dark Souls 3 yet.
So 3, from what I can see, is a lot more of just like managing like your status conditions and your health and stuff while just trying to not die before the other guy is really what it comes down to. I mean, there's a lot of like min-maxing your builds and stuff like that and going for like the best build with the best weapons and the best gear and blah, 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 blah. But what it really comes down to is like you're just trying to make sure that you have enough stamina to execute, you know, dodging and blocking and attacking so you can go through and attack the other guy hopefully with enough time to survive with enough health to come through on top. You know what I mean? So it's really all about the flavor you like. And I'm not, and the purpose of this show is not to try and like sway someone left or right on like what type of RPG they should play, but it's more about like getting the information out there so you can kind of decide if that thing is for you. So like me personally, while I like games like Skyrim and the Souls games and even tactical RPGs, I love like classic RPGs like Chrono Trigger or like Final Fantasy VII. Like I like games like that because I like the way that it allows me to just kind of like, okay, like this is the group that I've got. These are the abilities that they have. I'm going to use those abilities the best I can to come out on top. You know what I mean? Like it's more about like pushing the group through the struggle as opposed to like, all right, now I'm going to bring this guy around. I'm going to flank him. And then because I'm behind him, I'll get a better hit chance and I'm going to do more damage because I'm behind him. Or in like Skyrim where it's just like, I have the most powerful fire spell ever and I'm just going to burn everything to death. You know what I mean? To me, like it's more like I feel more invested in the characters, but that's just me. And that's the, like I said, the whole point here is just kind of help you figure out your flavor.
Well, I mean, it helps out a lot knowing how, you know, certain of the games work now.
Mm-hmm.
Into if I go and play that game.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't think in any sort of way that it has been pushed, you know, like don't play this because this is, you know, not your cup of tea.
Yeah.
But totally. It's more along the lines of, well, it could be your cup of tea if you just understood how it worked.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. Like the whole message of this show is educate, appreciate, play.
I agree.
And that's what we're going for. And that was the lesson today.
Hey.
Yay! We did it. So that is going to do it, actually. I think that's a good wrap up. That's a good place to end off, right?
That was a good place. Good place.
It's a good place. Yeah. Thanks again for coming out, Bobby. I really appreciate it.
That's no problem. It was a pleasure being here again.
Fantastic. So thank you, class, for listening to another episode of Binary Gamer. We are over on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, all the places where you can get podcasts. And we're also over on youtube.com/iFlipOfTheSwitch, where I'm making random videos again because my studio works again. Yay! And all that awesome stuff. So if you want to shoot us an email, ask questions, any concerns, comments, complaints, you can shoot them to binarygamerpodcast@gmail.com. That is binarygamerpodcast@gmail.com. So that is going to do it for this week's edition of Binary Gamer. So for Binary Gamer, I'm Tony Spears.
Bobby Dawson.
Class dismissed.
Yay.
The all-new Toyota RAV4 asks, what if? What if your ride was refined and rugged at the same time? Introducing a car that's got style and substance to spare. The all-new RAV4 Limited, featuring a sophisticated, muscular new exterior and available options like a premium JBL audio system and panoramic roof. The all-new RAV4 Limited. Toyota, let's go places. JBL and Clarifier, registered trademarks of Harman International Industries Incorporated.